Hello, friends. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle, North America in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and UFO people in the world on our program, and I guarantee, my friends, it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. And wow, do we have some incredible guests for you today. The two individuals I'll be having on the next two hours are truly out of this world, and you'll see why in a few minutes. I'm pleased to tell you, too, that Out of This World is one of the top-rated radio programs in the Seattle area, and we are also the fastest-growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. But the show is entirely supported by donations and your wonderful listener support. If you'd like to donate, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Any amount would really help, and for those who donate $25 or more, they will receive a free psychic reading. I've been in touch with the other side for over 20 years, and I can easily help people find spiritual solutions to almost any problem. They can also call me toll-free at 1-888-879-8339 or area code 509-750-9793. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show. Any advertising on this program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. We just joined Igloo Radio, which means that within 2 weeks, the show will be streamed live to radio stations in Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, Boston, and New York. In addition, we have plans to expand into Scandinavia and Norway and into the Portland, Oregon area on KBOO Radio FM. Our website is www.outofthisworld1150.com, but please note the site is currently undergoing system maintenance, but it'll be available next week. And you can always email me again at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The purpose of my radio program is to raise human consciousness to make this world a better place to live, and I know with everyone's help, we can make this planet a much better and happier place. We will be having an awesome Galactic Wisdom Conference from March 6th to the 8th, 2015, in Gig Harbor, Washington. The cost is just $197 if you register before the end of this month. It includes all workshops and a full breakfast on Saturday and Sunday. At the conference, you will be able to meet in person some of the world's most famous and interesting UFO and psychic people. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. The conference is being dedicated to the wonderful late Dr. Masaru Emoto and his wonderful Emoto Peace Project. Dr. Emoto was the world's most famous water scientist until he met an untimely death in October. Out of This World Radio is now a proud sponsor of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. Founded in 2005 by the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, the goal of the Peace Project is to teach children worldwide between the ages of 3 and 12 the value of love and gratitude, so that in 20 years there will be no more wars, no more conflicts, no more domestic violence, because the people of this planet, I believe, will finally learn to get along much better and be more happier in a more harmonious way. Also, I wanted to tell you, with the help of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, I've just started a project to print and distribute copies of the Peace Project's children's books to every school and library in Washington State. If you'd like to donate to this wonderful project, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Our goal is to have copies of the children's books to every library in school and school in the United States within 2 years. After that, we also want to spread the project to Canada, to Mexico, and to Latin and South America, because I know together we can make this planet a much better and happier place to live, with fewer wars and less conflict, based on the principles of love and gratitude from Dr. Emoto. And before we begin today, I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing moral support, and without whose support this program would not have been possible. My friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla Community College. Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, who's been providing wonderful support on the program, and I just can't thank her enough for introducing me to the Emoto Peace Project and for allowing me to help here in North America. I'd also like to thank my angelic and earthly family and my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support would not have been possible. You can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com by going to the clicking on the bar for guests and listening to any program you like. I have to tell you that the website for this show is currently undergoing maintenance, but it should be up and running by early next week. Well, I promised you an Out of This World program with our two guests today, and it's going to be amazing. During the first hour, we'll be playing an interview I pre-recorded last week with the famous David Icke from London, England. David Icke is probably one of the most famous people in the world with his writings and research into the extraterrestrial influences on this planet. And during the second hour, we have an incredible interview lined up with Len Kasten. I don't know if you know him, but Len is the author of the New York Times bestselling book, Secret Mission to Planet Serpico, a true story of how, when, and why astronauts from the United States flew to Planet Serpico in 1965 on a 10-year exchange program with that planet. I guarantee that this interview with Mr. Kasten will be simply out of this world. For those who'd like to ask questions during the show, please call in during the second hour, since the first hour is pre-recorded, to our studio line at area code 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569, toll-free within Western Washington. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio. That's TEDMAHR, OTW Radio, and at Facebook at Out of This World Radio. Just a quick introduction before we start our recorded message from David Icke. Actually, the interview will be split into two parts. This is the first part today. We will be playing the second part a week from today. In my opinion, David Icke is certainly one of the most interesting people in the world, an English writer, public speaker, and former media personality, best known for his views on what he calls who and what is really controlling the world. He has written 16 books explaining his position, and it has attracted a substantial following worldwide. He's a well-known BBC television sports presenter and spokesman for the Green Party. When he had an encounter in 1990 with a psychic who told him that he was a healer placed on Earth for a purpose. His books, The Robots' Rebellion in 1994 and The Truth Shall Set You Free in 1995, The Biggest Secret in 1999, and Children of the Matrix 2001, combine spiritualism with a passionate denunciation of what he sees as totalitarian trends in the modern world. In this interview, he will discuss how the media is controlled and how this control is actually one way to shape people's views and opinions, often to their own detriment, because it prevents them from knowing the real truth and knowledge about what's going in the world. I will also discuss the important work that David and Dr. Momoto did in Japan in 2007 on the relationship of both of their works. In case you don't know, Dr. Momoto met an untimely death in October 2014 after he visited China. The book that Dr. Momoto and David Icke published is only currently available in Japan and only in the Japanese language, but that work is now being translated through Out of This World radio volunteers into English, with the goal of publishing it in the United States and other countries because of its extremely important and profound messages. But we do need help, and if there's anyone out there who does speak and read Japanese and English, could you email or perhaps call me? My phone number again is area code 509-750-9793, and my email address again is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'd love to find, we have some people helping us, but I'd love to find some additional good translators who would like to help translate this wonderful and profound book by Dr. Momoto and David Icke into English. I'd like to go ahead and Eric, we go ahead and start the interview now. This is a pre-recorded interview I had with David Icke last week, live by telephone from London, and I hope you'll enjoy it, my friends.
Well, I have to tell you, from my listeners, David Icke is what I think, who I think is probably one of the most interesting people in the world today. He's done some fascinating work on research involving global politics, reptilians, what's going on in the world today. He's an English writer, public speaker, and a former professional footballer and sports broadcaster. Like I said, I think you're one of the most interesting people in the world, David. I'm so happy to have you on my show today.
Uh, That's very kind.
I know. I tell you, I know my listeners around the world will be fascinated by what you have to say today. One of the things, I know you've written lots of interesting books, including, let's see here, The Biggest Cigarette, published in 1999. There was a collaboration book you did with Dr. Moto back several years ago.
In Japanese.
And I talked to his office, Michiko, and it takes a lot of money to translate it into English, but that would be something that'd be worth fundraising. I think maybe my radio station can do that. But you have so much to say. What would you like to talk about today? The floor is all yours.
Well, wherever you want to go. I mean, okay. My life in the last 25 years has been connecting dots between apparently unconnected people, organizations, areas of life, connecting dots between what's happening in the world and the nature of reality, the illusory nature of reality, connecting dots between how we are being manipulated in the shadows or from the shadows by people who know at least the foundations of how reality works and how we interact with reality, how we create reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they are manipulating our sense of perception, which becomes our experienced reality. My latest book is called The Perception Deception, because I can't think of two words to describe what's happening in the world that encompass it better than perception deception, because perception is everything. From perception comes behavior.
True.
From perception comes what you support and what you oppose, what you allow and what you challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Perception in terms of possibility dictates what you will believe and what you won't believe. Because, you know, I've been saying for years that one of the greatest suppressions of humanity and manipulations of humanity is the suppression and oppression of the sense of the possible.
Mm.
If you have a very narrow band of sense of possibility, then that means that while things are going on outside that, in that peripheral vision of far greater possibility and potential, you are going to dismiss that when people expose it as being crazy, as being impossible. And all it is too much for your pea-sized spectrum of perception to grasp as possible. So the suppression of the sense of the possible is absolutely prime. And, you know, when you come out of the womb and the education system is, you know, it's getting closer to being the midwife, you know, so soon does this start now. I mean, there's a government education officer in this country who says that children should start school at two. It's madness, but it's not madness if you know how reality works and what the agenda is, because the sooner you can get hold of a young mind, the quicker you are molding it into your the version of perception that you want that child to have for the rest of its life.
Sure.
And you know, I was reading a very interesting book last week called Mind Change, and it was interesting to me because it kind of synced with what I've been writing about for years, and that's how the perception deception includes the molding of the brain to decode reality and perceive reality in certain terms. And interesting, I've just used the word is being molded. Well, what the book is talking about is the impact of the internet, social media, and video games on rewiring the brain, because for a long, long time, until relatively recently, it was thought by mainstream science that once you had a brain in a developed state, or what passes for developed in humanity currently, then that was it. The brain didn't change. Well, now they realize the brain is changing all the time. And they call it placidity. And placidity comes from a Greek word meaning to be molded. And that predates what we call plastic. That was another expression of the same term. And so what's happening is the brain is being molded by, to use a computer analogy, which is very appropriate, inputted data. So all the experiences we're having are changing the way the chemical and electrical communications are functioning in the brain. And so they found, this is fascinating and very relevant to what's happening now, that in the early years, when you're a child, a young person, the brain placidity is very fast. But the as you get older, it still changes with input, but it's not changing as fast or as fundamentally. That's when we talk about people being set in their ways.
Sure.
And she uses a very interesting example in the book of cataracts. When older people get cataracts and they're removed, they're usually fine. Their sight returns.
Mm-hmm.
When children have cataracts and they're removed, often their sight is impaired for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
And the reason is this. When in older people the cataracts are affecting the brain in the sense of the sight areas of the brain that are being used,
mm-hmm.
are being used less and not or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But because the placidity change is slower, the brain doesn't change in the period from to removal of the cataracts. But in children. She talks, Susan Greenfield, her name is, she's a neuroscientist. When in children, the same things happen with cataracts. She talks about the brain having no vacant space. If it's not being used, then the brain will use it for something else. So while sight part of the brain is not being activated and used because of the cataracts, the brain then gives that part of the brain another function,
mm-hmm.
and that's why their sight is impaired for the rest of their lives, because the areas of the brain that should be decoding sight, at least a portion of it, are no longer doing that. They're doing something else. So when you look at that example, and then you look at the extraordinary and vast and so fast change in the data and information coming from the internet and social media, mobile phones, mm-hmm. video games, the potential, and it's happening, the potential for changing the way the brain decodes reality, changing the way it thinks and perceives, is absolutely vast.
Mm.
I would say, from my research over the last quarter of a century, that that's not certainly not by accident, but mm-hmm. by design.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, when you know how reality works, you can manipulate an entire population by keeping from them how it works. And that's why mainstream science just treats the world as if it's literally solid. And physical, when actually it's not. It's a holographic projection of energetic information fields. And in the inner shadows of all this, of course, they know that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep it from us because,
sure.
Ignorance is the greatest form of control. Ignorance of reality, ignorance that there's any manipulation at all. And this is what we're dealing with. And so, you know, my life in the last 25 years has been spent researching across a vast swathe of subjects because, you know, you talk about everything connects to everything else. Well, that's at every level.
Mm-hmm.
And communicating information that wouldn't normally get out there. And, you know, for a long time, you know, were banging your head against a wall, and it was
sure.
a very lonely road. And
sure.
in many ways, it still is. But Mm-hmm. There's no question that in my period of doing this, especially more recently, the last 5 years, 10 years, there's been a tremendous awakening of a very large number of people to the understanding that although they may awaken in different ways and come to these conclusions from different points of entry into the field, if you like, that the world is and reality is not like they thought it was. And what's interesting to me is not just the numbers now, but the kind of people, what I call system people, people who believe in the system, believe in government, believe that mm-hmm. government's telling them the truth as their best interests are hard. Mm-hmm. People who've worked within the system and been part of a cog in the system's machine. Mm-hmm. They're the kind of people now who are starting to change the way they see the world and themselves. And that's sure. that's very encouraging. And it needs to happen because this is moving on very fast.
Well, I think Nostradamus was right way back in the 16th century, David, when he said that humanity as a whole on this planet would be moving into a golden age of spiritual enlightenment and progress beginning in the 2030s and 2040s of this century. I think we're moving into it faster, and we're moving into it faster thanks to the wonderful work that you do in helping to raise consciousness. The other thing, and I'm sure you've thought about this too, but in many countries around the world, the media is completely controlled. I know in the United States, for example, 90% of the major media outlets here in this country are controlled by five or six corporations. Many of them have interlocking directorships. Often they have the same news, a camera crew that go to a certain location for the like television news. And so, therefore, if something comes on that they don't feel that people should know about, they simply exclude it. And tying into what you said just a minute ago about keeping people ignorant, they just don't tell them about what's going on.
Well, of course, the perception deception is sure. based on false information being downloaded into the perception.
Sure.
And so crucial to that is, A, the education system, get them early.
Right.
And give them the system's version of everything.
Right.
But also, of course, the media, the mainstream media, sure. is phenomenally important in the perception deception.
Sure.
And, you know, it's on many levels, really, because we have an alternative media, and, mm-hmm. and people talk about the alternative media as mm-hmm. opposed to the mainstream media, but it's not like us and them. You know, there are parts of the alternative media that are only a smear away from the mainstream media in their
sure.
in their perceptions of the world, and then that goes through this vast, vast spectrum mm-hmm. of the alternative media mm-hmm. across to people like me and such like that are questioning absolutely everything mm-hmm. That the system tells us, fundamentally the nature of reality and the nature of who we are.
Sure.
And it's interesting that, you know, I've had tremendous abuse and ridicule from the mainstream media, but I am equally abused and ridiculed by vast swathes of the alternative media because I used this analogy a long time ago of coming out of the womb with a tent on your back
mm-hmm.
And walking and most people they walk a few steps and then they pitch their tent and that's as far as they're going. These are people that read the newspapers and believe what they're told, believe governments are there for benevolent reasons, etc. But you keep going a bit further, and you start to question some of the system of what we're told.
Sure.
You are seen as extreme and ridiculous by those who pitch their tent behind you.
Mm-hmm.
But then they pitch their tent. And this is very true of so much of the alternative media. But you keep walking because you know that you're never going to pitch your tent because there's never going to be a time where you're going to know all there is to know.
Sure.
It's like Socrates said, wisdom is knowing how little we know.
Sure.
You know, the arrogance of believing mm-hmm. that we can know, whether it's religion or science or anything, that we can know all there is or all we need to know. When we are actually the electromagnetic spectrum is 0.005% of what mainstream science says exists in this universe in terms of mass, matter, energy.
Wow, amazing.
And visible light, which is the only frequency band that we can see, mm-hmm. is a fraction of the 0.005%. So the idea that we are going to be at any point in a position where we know all that we need to know is ridiculous. So those that keep walking and they let information be their guide, mm-hmm. And intuition and information to be their guide, not preconceived idea, belief,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are then seen by people who think they're alternative in the same way that people back down the road who've pitched their tent see them. But they can't see that. They can't see this this fact that they are acting towards people like me in exactly the way that people in the mainstream are acting towards them.
Right.
It's just a different point of observation, if you like.
Sure.
And if we do not encompass not just the 9/11 conspiracy and the banking conspiracy and the political conspiracy and the media conspiracy and all these five sense levels of it, if we don't encompass with that that which is happening in the unseen and is behind that which we see, then we're never going to get it.
Right.
And of course, once you start talking about non-human entities, once you talk about this world being manipulated from beyond human sight, then, you know, I mean, even most of the alternative media just go, "You're mad." Well, it's not madness. It's actually what we need to understand if we're going to do something about this. Because if you don't understand the game, and you don't understand the way the game's being played, how can you deal with the game? You can't.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
I mean, you know, at the level of we need to stockpile weapons and you know, fight the government, that's never going to get anywhere, because A, the government has got, you know, infinitely greater firepower, and B, we've got to stop fighting, because that's creating the very energy,
right,
the very distorted energy that this whole conspiracy feeds off, and the entities behind it feed off low vibrational emotional energy, all based around fear.
I couldn't agree with you more, David. You know, there's two things I want to bring up quickly before I forget. And I had a lady named Laura Eisenhower, who's Dwight D. Eisenhower's granddaughter, on my show back on August 25th, and she talked extensively. The firsthand knowledge she had of an agreement that President Eisenhower signed with these reptilian entities, who, in exchange for some of their technology, they agreed to allow them to abduct us. And, of course, they've been doing quite a bit of manipulation. And they live off fear. They live off negativity. And the more wars we have on this planet, the more they feed off of that.
That's exactly right.
You know, and I think that Edward Snowden was right 6 or 8 months ago when he released one of the NSA documents stating that these reptilians actually are the power brokers behind many of our leaders around the world, especially the United States. People don't realize it, but I think it's true.
Well, I mean, these entities manipulating human society have been talked about in ancient societies for thousands of years. They just call them different names.
That's right.
And because of that, you know, mainstream history, etc., they think of them in different terms when they're all talking about the same thing.
Right.
When you look at the way the Gnostics, the pre-Christian Gnostics, they described entities they called the Archons, it's in precisely the same terms that the Islamic, and actually pre-Islamic world, because that's where it came from, described the jinn. The Christian demons come into the same category. Then you've got Central American shaman who talk about the flyers, and the way they describe them is the same as the jinn and the archons and et cetera. So it's all there, and it's all about manipulating from the unseen. And, you know, as I said earlier, the unseen is virtually everything, because we can see virtually nothing.
Right.
I mean, someone said, you know, humans are basically blind in terms of seeing what actually exists. And we're on such a narrow band of frequency in terms of what we can see, touch, and taste.
Sure.
And I would strongly suggest that that's not by accident, because there's another theme throughout ancient societies and the information that's been passed down, and that is of the manipulation of human genetics, i.e. the manipulation of
sure.
the human decoding system.
Sure.
And this is what you see in the Old Testament with the sons of God who interbred with the daughters of men.
Sure.
That's not
sure.
just a biblical theme. It's a theme in ancient societies across the world.
Sure.
And, you know, it's there if you put the dots together. But, of course, you have to do a lot of work to do that. And
right.
this is what I try to do in the books and in the talks. I did a big 10-hour event at Wembley, a big arena in London, about a month ago. It's going to be on the website, davidicke.com, in the next few days. And it starts at A and it ends at Z.
Amazing.
But you need to do that. People say, how do you talk for 10 hours? And, well, actually, you know, talking for 10 hours is sometimes a struggle because there's not enough time.
Sure. Really? Well, fascinating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fascinating.
I mean,
fascinating.
You know, I use about 1,500 illustrations.
Wow.
These dots, when you connect them in the right order, starting with the nature of reality, because without understanding the nature of reality, the illusory nature of reality, the way we create reality, you cannot understand what's happening in the world that we see, touch, and taste.
Sure.
This is where the vast majority of the alternative media don't understand. They won't go into those areas, but unless you do, you can't understand what's actually happening in the world we can see, because the world we can see is just like a movie screen.
Right.
It's a projection, and you've got to get to the projector to find out A, where it's coming from, and B, how it's being created, and therefore, you know, I go through that, and then I go through the entities and how they're manipulating.
Sure.
Us from the unseen, and,
sure.
and when you understand the nature of reality, or at least the foundations of it, then what seems fantastic and impossible, like, again, we're back to the perception of the possible,
right.
Massively widens. I mean, suddenly what sounded ridiculous and sounded impossible suddenly sounds perfectly logical, but
sure.
only
sure.
if you're coming from a point of view of understanding reality.
Well,
and then I take it on and bring it into the world that we see, touch, and taste now, and what's happening in the world, and it just puts what is happening on the daily news and what politicians are doing and bankers are doing and Monsanto's doing in absolute context, because it's all connected.
Sure.
You know, whether it's pedophilia or Satanism or banking or government
right.
or Monsanto or media, it's all connected. And
sure.
when you see the dots connected, you see the picture. But if you look at the mainstream media, you look at the education system, it's right. all about keeping the dots apart.
Right.
So you don't see the picture. You just see, apparently, random dots.
Compartmentalized behavior and knowledge.
Yep.
That's how they train people. I just wanted to tell you briefly, David, this is so interesting to listen to and to talk to you today. Thank you so much for coming on. For those who are just tuning in, this is KKNW 1150 AM Out of This World Radio with your host Ted Marr. I'm having a fascinating interview with David Icke from England. David, there was I had a guest on my show a couple times earlier this year named Scott Lemriel. He's had face to face contact and messages from the Galactic Alliance for the past 50 plus years, and one of the things his friends from out of town have told him, he said that the reptilians. They pride themselves as being, they consider themselves one of the cleverest entities in the universe, where they like to do things behind the backs of many people, and it certainly fits in, you know, with your wonderful research, trying to raise consciousness and pointing out to what's happening with the hidden forces.
Yeah, see, these entities operate outside of the human band of sight frequency,
okay.
And they use... hybrid bloodlines that are operating within our reality to do their bidding and manipulate our society on their behalf. And this is where you get the whole historical theme of the divine right to rule, the divine right of royalty. Chinese emperors used to claim the right to be emperor because of their genetic descendants from the serpent gods.
Interesting.
And you find the same in Africa, you find the same in Asia.
Fascinating.
You find the same everywhere. And these so-called blue bloods and the interbreeding families, whether it's the Eastern Establishment families in the United States or the royal families and aristocratic families and the banking families of Europe, they are these hybrid bloodlines overwhelmingly, and this is why they incessantly interbreed.
Fascinating. You know, very interesting.
It's to hold a genetic, therefore an information field, if you like, because they see the body as like a software program.
Uh-huh.
It's an information field.
Uh-huh.
And the nature of that information field can get people to have certain characteristics and characters and personalities which are different if the information field's different. And so when you look at the characteristics of these particular hybrid bloodlines, they are psychopathic and they are parasites. They're the two P's, if you like. And so you look at banking and you see psychopaths and parasites. I mean, banking is almost the ultimate parasite behavior, because you're lending people money that doesn't exist, called credit, and then charging them interest on it. And if they don't pay it back, often through no fault of their own, then you get their wealth that does exist, their home, their business, their land, their car, whatever.
Sure.
And when you you look at politicians who declare wars on innocent, defenseless people and bomb them from the sky, saying they're protecting them from violence.
Right.
That is psychopathic behavior.
Amazing.
And the key trait of psychopaths is no empathy, inability to put yourself in the feelings of those who are suffering the results of your actions.
Do you think?
And in that description, you have bankers, you have politicians, you have military people, etc.
Sure,
you have people
sure.
like Monsanto and these people that are being so destructive of human health through food and what they put in the water.
Sure, sure. Well, and also along those lines too, Ted Turner, who once referred to the poor of the world as useless eaters. I remember that quote.
Well, that's how they see us. We're coming up to a point now in this long journey of oppression and hijack of human society, mm-hmm. where they want to complete the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked at length in the Wembley event about the Hunger Games Society, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to create a situation where you have a tiny elite of immense wealth and privilege being served by a slave population. And that's not just the poor now.
Mm-hmm.
They're people now who are now what they call middle class. They are people that are doing well, or think they are. But if they're not part of this bloodline network, then they want their wealth as well.
Right.
And so you're seeing this moving further forward. We've gone from bailouts of banks to bail-ins, where they, instead of getting money from governments, i.e. the taxpayer, they're just going straight to bank accounts and raiding them. We've now got laws changing in this country to allow the tax authority just to go into your bank account and take what they say they're owed, not going through a court to prove it, nothing.
Oh my God.
And the idea is to bring about a massive crash of the world economy.
Huh.
So that the economic system is no longer sustaining people,
mm-hmm.
where pensions will be stopped, where all welfare payments will be stopped, governments will say they're bankrupt and all that, and to pull people into this Hunger Games society. And, I've known about this a long, long time, and
sure.
I'm just watching it unfold by the day.
Fascinating. I have to ask you... there was a book that you, I think, believe you cooperated collaborated with the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, the world's most famous water spiritualist and water scientist. He passed away a month
I've
ago.
I've never read it because it's in Japanese.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I did contact the Emoto Peace Project, and they gave me a few pointers on the book. Unfortunately, it is available only in Japanese, only in Japan, but I'm told it's a fascinating book. And one of the quotes from the book is that infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is an illusion.
This comes from quite an amazing story. Well, it's a long story of how I came to be doing this.
Mm.
And that started because, you know, the story I'm just going to tell as quickly as possible.
Okay, that's fine.
Kind of confirms that there are other forces at work to bring an end to this oppression and suppression of the human society.
Wonderful.
And it started with me. I was a professional soccer player in Britain, and I worked for the BBC eventually as a presenter and journalist. I worked for newspapers and radio, and I had quite a long journalistic career. And then I became involved in the British Green Party. I was national spokesman for the British Green Party. And then it all kind of changed, and changed quite dramatically. During 1989, when I was working with the Green Party and the BBC, I started to sense that when I was alone in a room, I wasn't alone. There was a presence there, which I couldn't understand. And then as the year unfolded, this got more and more blatant and more tangible, until the spring of 1990, when I was working for the BBC and I was in a hotel in London, in a, quote, empty hotel room, and I was sitting on the side of the bed. And I just spoke out to the room. I said, look, if there's something there, would you please contact me, because you'll drive me up the wall. Because by this time, you could almost touch this presence.
Really? Wow.
A few days later, I'm with my son, who's now a big strapping singer-songwriter, but he's a little boy then, in about March 1990. And I was walking down the seafront near where I live, next to a bookshop and newspaper shop. And I was with Gareth, my son, and somebody stopped me to start talking about the football, soccer. And then when we'd had this conversation, I realized that Gareth wasn't with me anymore, but I knew where he would be. He was be in this bookshop looking at railway books, which he liked. And I walked into this shop. It's still there. And I stood at the door, and I said to Gareth, come on, Gareth, we'll go up in the town and get some lunch.
Sure.
Well, as I turned to move, my feet wouldn't move.
Really?
I was stuck to the floor.
And oh, my God.
It was like two magnets were pulling my feet to the ground, and the bottom of my feet started to burn. And it wasn't a voice, but it was a very strong thought form which went through my mind and said, go and look at the books on the far side. Yeah. And of course, I'm standing there completely bewildered. What's going on? And I knew that shop very well. And the books it sold were romantic novels, you know, and not my scene. So, but I walked across there because I'm in a kind of bewildered state because of what has just happened. And I in among the romantic novels was a book with a woman's face on the front, and it was called Mind to Mind. And I picked it up and turned it over because it was so different to the rest. And I read the blurb, and it said psychic. This lady was a professional psychic called Betty Shine. And so immediately what came to me was, I wonder if this lady would pick up this presence that's been around me. So anyway, I bought the book, read it in 24 hours, contacted her, and went to see her. And I saw her four times. The first two times, she was a hands-on healer as well. And what I said to her, not to give her any idea what was going on, I said, look, I've got arthritis, which I still have, and maybe your hands-on healing could help. So I turn up, and we have two sessions, first of all, in which she does the hands-on healing, and it's fine, and we have interesting chats about things. And then on the third time I went, I'm on this like medical type bench in her home where she's working on my left knee. And I felt like this spider's web on my face very, very clearly. And you know, it was in those days I hadn't got a clue what it was, but the feeling of the spider's web is electromagnetic energy. And what kind of struck me is that I'd read in her book where she said that when other levels are trying to lock into you, you sometimes feel like a spider's web on your face. This is the electromagnetic connection. Huh. And of course, I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on here? Because, you know, I'm feeling the spider's web she talked about.
Sure.
And about 15 seconds after, and I never said anything to her, but 15 seconds, couldn't have been any more, mm-hmm. after I felt the spider's web on my face, she launches her head back and says, my God, this is powerful. I've got to close my eyes for this one.
Wow.
And then she starts telling me, I'm just a television presenter at the time, that I'm going to go out on she's being contacted, and there are beings talking to her to pass information to me. And what was interesting is, uh-huh. the first thing she said was, they're saying that they know you wanted them to contact you, but the time wasn't right. And I'd not told her about the hotel room. If there's something there, would you please contact me? You'll drive me up the wall.
Sure.
And then she starts telling me that, they're saying that I'm going to go out on a world stage and reveal great secrets.
Wow.
One line I remember was, one man cannot change the world, but one man can communicate the message that can change the world.
Uh-huh.
How I was going to face enormous opposition, but,
sure.
quote, they would always be there to protect me.
Nice.
How I was going to be led to knowledge, and at other times knowledge would be put into my mind. And all that, and loads of other stuff, which I describe in the books. And I then left and got on with my life, but my life soon changed because suddenly my life became a constant synchronistic series of daily experiences that were leading me to information, not just in abundance, but in an order that made it easier to understand and put the dots together.
Sure.
And I've been doing that for the last 25 years. And it's been in layers. The first few years were about the five sense level of the conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
And then the reptilian thing came in. Then the nature of reality came in. Then loads of things have come in since. The reality stuff really started big time. It was all the way through, really, but big time when I was writing a book about 9/11 called Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster, why the official story of 9/11 is a monumental lie. And while I was writing that, I said to people around me, you know, when I finish this, if I'm going to take this on, I need to get out there,
right?
Not in a dream, but in a conscious state.
Sure.
Anyway, very soon after that, I'm leading around, by the way, to Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion.
Uh-huh.
I then got an invitation out of the blue to go to a rainforest in Brazil near Manaus,
uh-huh.
and speak to a group who were there to take ayahuasca.
Okay.
This psychoactive potion.
Sure.
From the rainforest. Mm-hmm. And so I went, and I took it twice myself, and
okay.
it was unbelievable what happened.
Mm.
The first night it was about 2 hours, and then on the second night, I could have taken it four times. Twice was enough. I got what I needed. What happened on the second night is, for 5 hours, when I went into an altered state, a female voice as loud as mine is now spoke to me about the illusory nature of reality.
Huh.
It was extraordinary and so, so funny. I mean, I was in such pain from laughing.
Really?
And the voice started out, and afterwards I had instant recall of what it said, you know, which is uh-huh. what I've described in my books.
Sure.
But it started out by saying, we're going to take you to where you come from, so you can better understand where you are.
Okay.
And then it said, before we start, in effect, all you really need to know is infinite love is the only truth. everything else is illusion.
Huh, interesting.
And then proceeded to explain why it was an illusion. And what I found it interesting is I went to a place of all I can describe it as is brilliant blackness. In that place, or that state of being, there was no movement and there was no sound.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the still, silent, all that is, all possibility waiting to manifest into infinite possibilities.
Fascinating.
And interestingly, when I read the book by the neurosurgeon Eben Alexander,
sure,
about his near-death experience, which I guess most people will know about now,
right,
he described the place he went to as the dazzling darkness. And I understood exactly what he said because I've been there. It's the core of us. It's what we really are. We're all possibility waiting to manifest into infinite possibilities. And what we're experiencing in this five-sense world is just one possibility, and in fact, a very, very limited and constricted possibility because of the manipulation that's going on. And so if we only interact with the world through the five senses that can only perceive this tiny, tiny frequency range of visible light, then we are operating on a fraction, a tiny, almost indescribable fraction of who we are.
Sure.
And that is the whole foundation of the conspiracy,
uh-huh,
to keep us in that state, because then we're controllable. And once,
sure,
you widen your point of perception, your point of observation, your point of attention, you start to see the world in a much more expanded way.
Sure.
And then the dots start to connect. And the reason that mainstream science's explanation of reality is such a distortion, such a fraud, is because it's there, although most scientists don't know it, they're caught in the system they don't understand. It's there to hold us in this tiny band of potential perception.
Sure.
And so because most people are there and they're caught in it from cradle to grave because of the way the system entraps their perception,
right,
anyone with any kind of expanded awareness that is seeing what they can't see is called mad or crazy or dangerous.
Sure.
And it 'twas always so. Look throughout human history, it's always been the same. Because wherever you look, the authority of the day, the prevailing authority of the day, has targeted anyone, call them visionaries, call them whatever you like, they've targeted anyone who could see and perceive beyond the five-sense reality and start to see what was actually happening and how the reality they are participating in actually works. They've always been targeted, whether it's the Roman Church burning them at the stake, et cetera, whatever.
Sure.
They've always been targeted. And today they're targeted with ridicule.
Right.
Well, in some countries around the world, indeed many countries around the world, they're still targeted with violence. But in the Western world, it's overwhelmingly ridicule, contempt, and derision.
Sure. Well, I know that on that note, with your wonderful book that you co-authored with Dr. Emoto, he passed away a little more than a month ago. But one of the important things I think about his research is that our thoughts do create physical reality. And of course, he's done his famous experiments where he would have people, for example, sending love and gratitude to a glass of water, and then looking at the molecular structure of that water, David, and it was completely beautiful crystals. Even when you took a glass of polluted water from a lake or a bay or an area, that could be cleaned up just by thinking good thoughts with love and gratitude.
Hello, friends. I'm so glad that you were able to listen today. That was a pre-recorded interview with David Icke from London, England last week. There's quite a bit more in his interview, and we will be playing that again, the rest of the interview, 1 week from today here on KKNW from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or Seattle time. In the meantime, please stay tuned. We will have Len Kasten talking about his wonderful, fascinating book he recently wrote called The Secret Journey to Planet Serpo. It's a true story of how this country secretly sent, I believe it was 12 astronauts to the planet. It's many tens of thousands, tens of light years away from here. It's approximately 240,000 trillion miles from here. So it's a long ways away. Just real quick, I wanted to remind everyone we're having an awesome Galactic Wisdom Conference from March 6th to the 8th, 2015 in Gig Harbor, Washington. The cost is just $197 if you register before the end of this month. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. At the conference, you'll be able to meet in person the chief scientist for the Omoto Peace Project flying in from Tokyo, Dr. Omoto, his wonderful assistant, Michiko Hayashi, as well as Susan Chomsky coming in from New York City, Lois Berman, one of the East Coast's most famous psychics coming in from Boston, Tricia McCannon, a wonderful UFO person coming in from Atlanta, and Scott Lemriel coming in from Hollywood. Please stay tuned. We'll